want to thank Apostle for last week, because it began and opened up the hearts of people to believe that we really can walk in Him. We really can receive of Him, and He'll change our lives. The endowment of power. The way Ian put that just a second ago, you know, what do we have without Him? Nothing. If you want to try to live without the endowment of power of Holy Spirit, have at it. And I just kind of know where I'm going to find you. Looking for help. Because without Him, we have nothing. We are nothing. I changed this word about three times this week as I tried to just follow Holy Spirit and what He wants to say. And I'm good with that. I really don't care. It kind of makes, in the flesh, I get a little nervous. But, you know, if I know He's doing it, then I really, you know, you just finally give in and say, okay, what do you want to do? Basically, what I want to do is go back from where Apostle started last week. I want to drop back a couple thousand years. And just as a short opening into the origin of Holy Spirit, we find Him real quick. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, we first see Him mentioned. The Spirit of God, He hovered over the waters. And just something quick and simple out of that, I want to just start right there. That word is brooding. He brooded over the waters, over the deep. He was doing something. If you ever just want to write it down, the first thing you can do, Holy Spirit is always about doing something. You see, He is part of the Godhead. He is the third person of the Godhead. He was already at work before creation, as we know it, ever began. We know that Paul talked later that in Ephesians and Colossians both, that Jesus was present and part of all creation. So by verse 2, we already see that Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is already present. In verse 2, the Godhead's at work. Jesus said of His Father, my Father's at work all the time. And He said, I just listen to what my Father's doing and I do it. So Father's always at work. Jesus is always at work. Holy Spirit's always at work. The Godhead is always at work. As far as origin, He always was. He was with the Father. In verse 2, He always was. He is and He always will be. So origin's not hard to hit. Pretty quick. I want to start to move towards purpose, because really that's what I felt early in the week was origin and purpose. His origin is easy. He always was. He is the third person of the Godhead. He's trustworthy. Now, as you move up through the Old Testament, you begin to see, and I'm not going to take as much time as I originally thought I would, but as you move up through and you go into, you see in Moses and you see Abraham where he moved, the Spirit moved upon them and came upon them. He gave them direction in things. He gave them sometimes it was even their own personal identities. He came and He did those things for them. And you move up into the Judges and through Samuel and all through those times, He begins to emerge. You see more of His presence as He emerges into their lives. But it's not an indwelling Spirit. He's a one who comes on. Remember, He came on Saul when they anointed Him king. He came on Saul. But when Saul disobeyed, He left Saul. He came off of him, and He went on David, and He remained. You move on up into the, I think, Psalms. Actually, I mean, we could really dig some of this out, but we're just showing origin and His purpose coming into the new covenant era. But in Judges, He gave a lot of strategy in battle, which is very interesting, because it says the Spirit of God moved on different judges to give them strategy. So He was beginning to personalize Himself into different people, which is eventually He's going to take over and become and work in people. So there's this progression as you see it moving through the old covenant, moving towards the new. You get up into Psalms, I believe that's the first place that David refers to him as Holy Spirit. Before that, it's the Spirit of the Lord or the Spirit of God. There in David, because of David's heart, there was something in there that he recognized, that there was something about the Spirit of the Lord that was much, much greater. Remember, even God said, the Father says, he is a man after my own heart. Something about David's heart understood. And instead of just referring to Spirit, he put it, he is separate. He's much different than me. He's holy. So we first see that remark there. And I think in the Old Testament, there's actually two places. I don't know if it's Isaiah or there's one other, I think, where they refer to him as holy. But as you move up into the writing prophets, into the minor prophets, we begin to see an emergence of him in directing the nation. He starts giving through prophets. He starts talking about what the Israel is going towards. He's beginning to bring them the hope out of exile, bringing them out of that feeling of second-class citizens always. He starts telling them, there's coming a time where I'm going to move on you. And even there's prophecy there that the Spirit will begin to dwell in men. Of course, at that time, they're not going to get it. They're not going to understand what he's talking about, because up to that time, there has been no indwelling. We move towards the end, and we find another one that's powerful is Joel. Joel prophesies about Pentecost and what it's going to look like when men and women are filled, endued, and carry his presence. So then we move towards new covenant, the new era. Jesus has been prophesied that he's coming out of Isaiah. Jesus shows up. Prophecy is true. He shows up. He begins his ministry. 30 years old. The very thing he does, the first part of his ministry is to what? He goes in obedience to be baptized. And the emergence of the indwelling shows up. Holy Spirit says he descended like a dove and he filled Jesus with power. You see, nothing before that we ever hear about Jesus. I'm sure he was perfect. I'm sure he did nothing wrong. He was a great guy and a great kid, probably church all the time, honored his mother and father. But we don't hear about anything previous to the undoing of power. And his ministry begins. 3 years, we see amazing miracles, deliverance, people being raised from the dead. Anything and everything you can imagine that came against, hell came against, Jesus, filled with the power of Holy Spirit, would simply speak, touch, fire, power, dunamis power, that we would know as Pentecost starts coming. But there's 3 years where they, the disciples especially, are the ones around him, and they're watching him. And there even comes a time that's so exciting for them because he turns them loose, says, now you go and do what I've been doing. Remember what happened? They come back and they are wound tight. We can't believe the demons do whatever we say. We can't believe people were healed. What does Jesus tell them? I think that's funny because they're all wound tight. And he says, don't get all excited that they do those things, that demons obey you. Just be excited that your names are written in me, in the book, the Lamb's Book of Life. Because as we do sometimes ourselves, we get all excited about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And they're wonderful. They're wonderful. They change people's lives. But it's still what not happens to you is not what's so good. It's what happens in you that changes our character, changes who we are. because of Holy Spirit. We'll tend to get ahead here because that's not where I'm going. So now, I don't know if you can really follow along because I'm going to be jumping all through it, but the rest of this talking of his purpose is out of John 14, 15, and 16. It's not long before the cross. Jesus knows what's coming. 3 years of ministry has been pretty amazing. The disciples are finding some amazing time. They've been with Messiah. And as far as they're concerned, if you recall, they're figuring that he's going to be sitting as king. And we're right there with him. Things are good if you're a disciple. If you're a follower of Jesus, things are good. Except that in John 14, Jesus knows that the time is coming to where he is going to have to fulfill his purpose, and he's going to have to leave. And he starts in chapter 14, "Let your hearts be troubled." And I'm sure the disciples are like, what? Because up to this time, things have been good for the disciples. Because Jesus was there. If they didn't have an answer, they got one from Jesus. If they didn't know when people came against them and acted a little bit, Jesus stood up for them. When the big wheels came against Jesus, Jesus took it. The guys following him didn't have to deal with it. But all of a sudden, Jesus starts talking about the fact that I'm going to go away. And where I go, you can't come. What? Where are you going? Isn't that the questions they start asking? Where are you going? Jesus said, you can't come where I'm going. But I'll go and I'll come back and I'll bring you peace. But I was like, wait a minute. If you're going, I'm going. He said, you can't go. And you see in 14, 15, and 16, you see this issue back and forth of fear beginning to rise in the disciples. Well, I want to go with you. Peter makes that wild statement. I'll go wherever you go. And Jesus has to sit him back down on his butt. So no, before this time's even over, you will deny me 3 times. So there's a scary time starting to emerge. See, remember, up to this point, there has been no indwelling of Holy Spirit. The disciples did not know what it was to be able to pull on that inner strength of Holy Spirit. They had Jesus. Man, at that time, you couldn't have more. They had it great. But he says, now I'm gone. He tries to comfort them over and over. He says, if I go, I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, then you can come and we'll be there together. But not right now. And that not right now is not good for the disciples because they still don't know what the future holds. They are starting to really get a little freaked out. Jesus goes into an amazing, amazing discourse in chapter 15 about the vine. He does everything he can to comfort them. Because he even says, I think it's in the beginning of 16, he even says, I know that these words are making your heart sorrowful. It's heavy. I know it is. But I'm trying to tell you that if you abide with me and I with you, you will have us with you. We will not leave you. He says that over and over. One place he says, I won't abandon you. I'm not going to leave you an orphan. I'm coming back. But they're still sorrowful. Even one place, do you remember, I thought of it this morning when we started talking about Israel, and I told Apostle, I said, man, Israel, they just need a revelation of Messiah. They don't need more might, more strength, more armies. They need a revelation of Messiah. Remember when in some of this fear, remember what Philip said, I think in chapter 14? He said, well, Jesus, if you just show us the Father, we'll be good. Because they're looking, there. Remember, they're Israelites, they're Jews. It's always been about the Father. And you know, if Jesus is leaving, just show us the Father, we'll hang with him. Because it's always been about our Father God. The Nazis, they're starting to lose, they're losing their control. Just show us the Father. And Jesus says those amazing, excellent words, Philip, have I not been with you long enough for you to know if you've seen me, you've seen Father? Because he and I are one. He talks to me and I do what he says. So if you've seen me, you've seen him. You know Father. Don't ask. Don't ask where he is. Here I am. See, the whole time he's comforting them, but because they don't have a sense of an indwelling presence, they don't feel it. They don't know it. They have to believe Jesus. That's hard. That's hard to believe if you don't have the inner strength of Holy Spirit who causes you to believe, who gives you a measure of faith. So don't, you know, I've come to find a little bit of a new sense of, I felt sorry for them a little bit in that sense, because they didn't have what we have, and it had to be scary. This is the one we thought was going to be sitting on the throne of Israel, and he's gone. He's leaving. So basically, we want to take probably just the rest of this time and just look at, break it down into three ways. First, a problem. The problem was that they were being presented with a fear that they did not know what to do with and how to deal with it. That was the problem. They were being told things that they couldn't grasp. They had had a sense of belonging, and all of a sudden that's being taken away, even though Jesus says, I'm not going to abandon you, I'm not going to leave you orphans, and yet they still feel that emptiness coming. So there's the problem is the unknowing of the future. Do we not ever sense those fears of the unknown? What is it about death that causes people so much fear? The unknown. Because you have to believe Jesus for the fear to go. The problem was fear. The problem was the unknown, fear of the unknown. But then there's a solution. And Jesus began in 14, 15, and 16, three different places, because of their fear and their anxiety. He said it three times in one discourse. I'm going to send you another one. He's referred to in some translations as helper, some translations, comforter. I like one of the translations a lot. Jesus said, I'm going to send a friend. Isn't that sweet? Because of their fear and because of where they were, it's fun to me, I guess I'd put it, to see how Jesus responded. He didn't start by telling them all the things that Holy Spirit would do. He started by saying, I'm going to send a comforter because you need one. I can see the sorrow of your heart. You need a comforter. You need a helper. And I'm telling you, if I go, he's coming. And he even puts it a little stronger. They said, well, we don't want you to go. We'd rather you stay. I'll go with you. Jesus said, it's better for you if I go. Now, that's an interesting statement, because in Jesus, we got it all. But Jesus, to those men at the time, said, no, it's better if I go. It's better for you if I go, because the one that's coming after me will do things that you have not seen yet. He's going to come, and he's going to bring an infilling of you to you, that you will do things. That's when Jesus said the words. You will do greater things than I did. See, there's reason why those words were said by Jesus. Because up to that point in time, they had no indwelling. They could not come up with that power of their own. Only because the presence of God went with them when they went out, the 70 went out. Was the only reason they could do what they did was because the power of the Spirit went with them. But Jesus says, there's coming a time, if I go, the one I send, this one's going to do things in you. It's going to allow you to do greater things than I've ever done. They had seen him raise the dead. They had seen all the miracles. They'd seen men and women delivered of demons. They saw it. And now he's telling them, you're going to do more than I did. And I'm sure that they were scratching their heads and wondering, what in the world are you talking about? But Jesus says three different times in those three chapters, I'm going to send another one. And when he comes, this is the third part of the three. You got a problem, the fear of the unknown. Two is a solution. Holy Spirit's coming. The third thing is the benefit. He goes on to tell them, and I'm going to try to see if somebody can get some of these out for you. He just, now we're staying right where Jesus is talking. We're not going into after Pentecost at all. Hopefully that'll be next week's teaching, and it'll follow through. What I want to take you to is how it happened, and the amazing need for it to happen. Jesus tried to get that through to them, and I don't know if they ever got it until Pentecost. I really don't. I don't think they really understood what he was saying until they saw the fire and the wind. Say, hey, something's up. This is different than anything we ever saw. And then their ministries proved it. But Jesus says, the benefit to the world, that's how he says it first. He's coming. And to the world, he will bring conviction, righteousness, and judgment. These have been strange for me always. As long as I've been saved and as long as I've been studying and reading, these three things have always been weird to me because they just don't seem to connect. But I finally am getting them. Jesus says to the world, when Holy Spirit comes to the world, he will try to prove to them the same message that I've been bringing since the time I've been on earth, that I am the one sent. If you believe in me, you have everlasting life. If you don't, you come into condemnation of your own words and your own actions. It's basically what he was saying. But what he's saying, Jesus is saying, I have been talking verbally to anyone I can reach. But when this one comes, he's going to come, he's going to go to the world, and he's going to tell the world the same thing I've been telling you. He's going to tell the world. And then he says, but to those who believe, he will. And he begins. And these are excerpts out of all three chapters when he talks about Holy Spirit coming. He will remain forever. Is that not amazing right off the bat? You could stay there for probably a couple of weeks and just talk about the fact that Holy Spirit comes, he remains. Those words that Jesus said about, I will not leave you, I will not abandon you, you will not be an orphan. You, as a believer, never, ever have to worry about being left alone. Ever. Ever. If Jesus' words are true, he said, when this one comes, he will remain forever. Whew, that's pretty big. That's pretty big. So when you're sitting around in a corner on the couch and the lights are out and you're feeling sorry for yourself because nobody loves me, nobody cares, I'm just going to tell you, I know it isn't easy, but you're going to have to put some big boy panties on. Stand up and admit that God is right and I'm wrong. Holy Spirit is with me always. I'm never alone. He can do more for me than any man or woman in this earth can do for me. He can do all things through him who strengthens me. Holy Spirit in me can be everything I possibly could ever need to be or want to be or need to be. He will never leave. He will remain. He says he will dwell in you. They never had that before. So when you read those words, don't just take those things lightly. Things were changing. When Pentecost happened, things changed big time in the earth. See, we tend to read the Old Testament. We tend to read all that stuff and tend to have that they had an understanding like we do. They didn't. They didn't. He was the God over there. They knew of him, and they would speak to him as other. He is other. He is not me. But now, Holy Spirit comes, and he's saying, just like, and Jesus told him this, just like the Father dwells in me, and I dwell in the Father, we will dwell in you. See, we'd blow through those words as though, well, you know, that's just typical. That's just, everybody knows that. The disciples didn't know that. And the earth before that didn't know that. Jesus is revealing some amazing truths about Holy Spirit. Now he's going to indwell you. He's going to live in you. That's awesome. He said, when he comes, he will bring all things that I said to remembrance. I'm sure that was some of the fears. All the time we've been with Jesus, excuse me, please. All the time we've been with Jesus, all the things he's taught us and shown us, if you leave, how are we going to remember all that stuff? I mean, Jesus preached constantly. But he said, I'm going to bring, Holy Spirit will bring everything I ever said to remembrance. Are we not recipients of that? So if you lack, what do? You ask. Because Holy Spirit's going to reveal everything Jesus ever said to us. Come on, that's got to be good. It is amazing that we have these things. Because up until Pentecost, the earth didn't know this. And isn't it a shame that we live 2,000 years after this and we still really don't know it? We do. We take it for granted because we've been around the teachings so long, we just blow through them and never give him the glory for what he's done. He says he'll teach you all things. Okay, if you want to know something, ask Holy Spirit. Did not just say that. He just said, he will give you all teaching. He will teach you. If you need to know something, ask him. He'll teach you. I mean, those are the places. I mean, you know, if you read some of the verses, as I, you know, said, well, you know, we don't need a man to teach us. But Holy Spirit gifted men to teach. So he didn't mean necessarily all of that. But what he did mean was, if you are wanting and you need, ask Holy Spirit. You don't need a man to tell you what's going on. Ask Holy Spirit. He'll tell you. And then he's going to empower people with gifts to give you all that you need. I'll do it through them, but Holy Spirit's still the one who has all the teaching in him. And if you need to know something, go to him. Jesus said, I'm going to leave behind my peace. So Holy Spirit is peace to you. Anyone in here ever needed peace? You've ever needed a reason to worship? I've told this a few times in here, but I tell you, the first time I ever felt a tangible anointing was when I lost my dad at 12. And that night, the family, after everybody left, you know, all the neighbors, all the friends, all that stuff, all of them left about 10 o'clock that night from the house, and the family's sitting there alone. Three sisters and mom, and me, I was the youngest. We were just sitting there kind of like, well, what do we do now? What do we say? Nobody even knew what to do. And I don't know. It was Holy Spirit. I don't have a clue. But I just remember saying, I think we ought to pray. I wasn't a great spiritual kid. So it wasn't like I was already preaching the circuit or something. I'd been in church all my life. But I didn't know what that time what to do, and I remember just saying it. I think we ought to pray. And they just looked at me, so I started praying. I didn't even know how to pray. I didn't know what to do in that time. But man, you talk about a peace. I couldn't have explained that it was peace, but man, it was such a comfort. That time was so comforting. How can that be comforting when you just leave your dad at 12 years old? There's no way that can be a comforting time. But it was. For those moments that night, it was. There was a tangible peace of Holy Spirit in that house. I'll never forget that feeling because because all the sorrow was gone for a time. That was what was strange. Does he not come into our lives to relieve us of the sorrows? Did he not tell the men with him, I know your hearts are heavy. I know you don't get this. I'm telling you, the one I'm sending, he's going to be good for you that I send him, because he's going to bring peace to you. Jesus said, I'm going to leave that behind with you. Don't take that lightly, what you carry, is just a side note. Don't take that for granted, because you carry Holy Spirit with you. He indwells you. You carry stuff like peace. You can leave that with people. You can pray for people and leave a tangible touch of peace in their life. Don't take that for granted. I've seen it over and over and over. He says when he comes, he'll testify of me, of Jesus. He's going to reveal things about me to everyone, to you and everyone. He said he'll guide you in all truth. Again, if you're fearful of falling into a problem and falling into all kinds of bad teachings, then stop following men. Stop following the just teachings from any old place and don't know who they are and you're not in relationship with them. Stop following them. Stop listening to them. If it brings strangeness and weird feelings, well, I don't know if that's right. You're carrying one in you. If you're born again of the Spirit, you carry the one in you that will tell you truth. When you feel a check, trust it. Trust it. Don't override it. Don't keep rolling. Just trust the check and admit that, well, you know, I thought that really sounded good for a time, but that doesn't sound good anymore. Get away from it. Leave it behind. You don't need any except what he has. An apostle teaches it all the time here, and we all in leadership, we try to keep it up and do it. You need relationship with people. If you're going to trust them and talk to them, don't trust them until you have relationship with them. Because you don't know who they are until you're in relationship with them. Sometimes that may take more than 2 weeks. Sometimes you may have to walk with somebody for a while before you figure out who they really are. But trust Holy Spirit. He said he will not speak of himself, but of Jesus and the Father. Do you have to worry about what he's going to teach you? Was it Mark 9? Is that where it is? Where Jesus says, you know, if a normal man, son asks him for a piece of bread, he doesn't give him a snake, how much more when you ask of the Holy Spirit? Your Father's not going to give you something else. If you need truth, if you need enlightening, you need something, Father is going to give you truth. Holy Spirit is not going to give you anything except what Jesus has said, what the Father said. Trust him. See, that's what all this is about. Jesus was trying to convince them at that very moment, the one I'm sending is going to be better for you. You need to hear these things because this is going to be your future. Because I'm not going to be with you, but for a short time. I'm going back to my Father because I have to. The one that's coming, he's going to be with you forever. You better understand what he's coming for, and you can trust him. You can trust him. See, they used to want to just trust Jesus and hang on his coattails. But he was gone. Now they're on their own. They have to trust something they can't see. Huh? Faith. Faith. He said, when he comes, he's the Spirit of truth. We've already touched on that. He will glorify Jesus. I'm just hitting back on some of these that they're all different, coming over each other. He will tell you things to come. I thought that was a good one. Isn't that awesome? Anybody want to tell you about the fact that prophecy's ended? That dispensation's over with. Those things don't happen anymore. Well, then Holy Spirit doesn't work anymore. Because Holy Spirit, Jesus said right there, Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. That means that he's going to talk to you about stuff in the future. So don't tell me he doesn't prophesy. Because I'm not going to believe man, I'm going to believe my Father. I'm going to believe Holy Spirit. I'm going to believe Jesus. As weird as that may seem to some of you, if you've never been a part of around prophecy, get around it. It is, sometimes there are flakes around, but I'm telling you, this house is not full of flakes. This house has been tried and tested, and it's a house, it's a prophetic house, and it's real. He speaks. All you have to do is just watch somebody's demeanor when Holy Spirit reveals something to them that nobody knew but Him. And all of a sudden, their demeanor completely changes. How could nobody, no man knew that? How could that be? It's awesome. There's two places in chapter 16, the first verse and the last verse, that Jesus made a statement like this: I have spoken these things to you so that you should not be offended. That's in 16:1. The word there means that you won't slip away into apostasy. Why would he even think to say something like that? These are his followers. Through all the things that were coming their way. You see, I didn't even talk about a little bit about that. Jesus didn't help the matter when later on he says, I'm going to leave, and then this and that. He didn't help the matter by later in, I think, 15 and 16 both. He says, well, they're going to drag you and persecute you. They're going to drag you into the synagogues. They're going to try to make you look foolish. They're going to try to say everything you're about, that you're just fools. They're probably going to try to kill you. They do all this because they hate me, but it's coming. Now, I'm sure that was not a real pleasurable thought for they're already freaked out because he says he's leaving, and now he tells them I'm going to be persecuted too. So he tells them, I'm telling you all this about Holy Spirit. When he comes, I'm telling you all this stuff because I don't want you to slip away in unbelief. Then in the last verse of 16, he says, I've spoken these things to you so that you might have peace in me. Because in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Isn't that awesome? I mean, I love to pull that verse out and use it, you know, when I'm praying for people and stuff. But, man, when you study these three chapters and you realize at the very end of what he said, this is right before he goes into prayer in the garden. Chapter 17. The last thing he says is, I'm telling you all this stuff so that you can be in peace. Because you're going to go through some stuff. But be of good cheer. I got it all covered. Holy Spirit's going to be with you all the way through. Hang in there. My words to you today would be, hang in there. When the trials come, when things are frustrating you, you don't know how to overcome, you have one who dwells in you. It will be all truth to you. He'll bring wisdom. Did not Father say, if you need wisdom, just ask? If you don't know what to do, ask Him and trust your heart. Because if He abides in you and you abide in Him, then you can trust your heart. Now, where we get in trouble with that is we trust our heart and we're not walking with Him. Come on. We have done that, haven't we? We have done some things without His. I thought so, because I do it. I still do it. It's about abiding. Abide with Him. And let Him abide in you. Forsaking all else, trusting Him. Then, whatever we say and do, Jesus said, if you are abiding in me, you can ask anything in my name. Father will give it to you. Wow. Wow. They were getting an earful here. I don't know if you ever figured that out. In 14, 15, and 16, Jesus' last hoedown with them, they were getting an earful and a heartful if they could hear. Man, life was about to change drastically. For you and I here today, 2,000 years after Pentecost, we still have the same Holy Spirit. He does the same thing. He hasn't waned not one bit. We have the same access. We have the same truths laid before us just as Jesus spoke them. He could be speaking them today. In fact, I believe he is. This is his word. He's trying to tell us today, be of good cheer. You might go through some things. That's life. We're still living in this earth. The world is going to throw stuff at you. But be of good cheer. I'm in control, or am in charge. I correct myself there because I believe he's not in control. He's in charge. He absolutely gives us the freedoms that we could never imagine. It's ours. It's ours. It's ours. Just to end with one thing. Last night when I was laying in bed, I was just thinking about some of this stuff, and I just heard the words that Holy Spirit's purpose in the earth is for benefit. Purpose fulfilled releases benefit. Jesus fulfilled his purpose in earth. The benefit was Holy Spirit. He came. Holy Spirit is fulfilling his purpose in the earth. The benefit is ours. Are we using it? Are we walking with him? Are we utilizing it? Take that word away. Are you utilizing it? That's the question. Are we utilizing it? Are we taking advantage of the things that have been given? Truth. The one thing I'd love to see done in anyone that's around me, I would love to be able to see emotional problems erased. I want to see sick. I want to see the physically sick healed. But my desire is to see those emotionally caught in a trap that they cannot get out of. I know there's a way. And it's Holy Spirit. I know that. But I keep asking him, what is it exactly that I need to do to step over into this in a place where I can begin to just, I hear you and I speak it, and their minds are, they're clear. That's my desire. I hate that people are trapped in a mind, in their minds by problems and Alzheimer's. I hate that. I hate that. You don't know how I desire to lay hands on an Alzheimer's patient and have their mind cleared. He is in the earth with us today. He dwells in us. The very one who empowered Jesus, he's with us. He's in us. We got to get out of the way. I admit, I probably don't walk in some of the things at a greater power because maybe I just don't believe him. Maybe I just don't believe him at that level. I believe him, but I just don't know if I believe him for me. I don't know. I'm being transparent. I desire it with all my heart, and I believe it with all my heart, but for me to take the step and to go practice what I preach, that's a whole different world. We have to go to a level of belief, trust. Is he really who he says he is? Did Jesus really tell the truth when he said who Holy Spirit would be when he comes? I would have to say yes, a resounding yes, he is true. And I believe Holy Spirit is true. I believe everything about him. But I got to get me out of the way so that he can be all he needs to be and wants to be in the earth. He is. He's still active. Sure.
As you've been speaking, there's an outpouring of Holy Spirit in here this morning. It's like a mist of rain just pouring upon us. And the very things that you were saying, the desire that's in your heart, see, God's putting those desires in our heart. We do want to see others healed and set free. So we have to receive the outpourings. And hopefully every time we gather, there's an outpouring. Because the purpose is not for us to glow in the dark. May we be a charismatic people whose desire is not to glow in the dark, to be super whatever, but that we be a people that our hearts break over those who are broken to see them healed. So that he's pouring it out on us so that those things can be fulfilled.
And with that, I agree wholeheartedly. I can feel it the whole time I've been up here. I can feel him at my back. I can feel it. And all that is his desire to wash over us, to fill us fresh and new, to infill us, to empower those areas in our lives that are weak. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to ask if you rise, just stand up. Just stand up where you are. Now, I'm going to say it like this, too, because in this house, we're pretty real. We usually don't pull a lot of punches and be silly about stuff. I'm just going to say it this way. If it's you, just remain standing. It doesn't matter. Because I'm not trying to pick anybody out. But if you just really just don't care, this really just isn't your thing, you don't really believe this stuff, that's okay. We're not going to try to coerce you. We're not going to try to beg you. Although I would say it is for your benefit that you believe. But if you don't, we're not going to pick you out. You just remain standing with the rest of the group. But those who really, this morning, want the fullness of who Jesus said Holy Spirit is. We see, we haven't even touched the thousands of manifestations of Spirit. We haven't even touched that stuff yet. We hadn't even got to Pentecost yet. This teaching was all pre-Pentecost. But he was teaching about what was to come. And now it's here. We need more teaching. But at this moment, my desire is that we all in this house that want the fullness of what he is and who he is and just receive this morning. Holy Spirit, I just release of you. I can't release you. You're here. You do the things you do. But in my words, through my mouth, I simply say, Father, I release of you. And I ask you to fill everyone in this house at every limit, limitless limits that they can handle. Those who are desiring after you, those who want you, I know you don't disappoint. Father, I know you're just pouring out. It's just as though there are, I saw it last week while we were up front praying for people, and I see it again today. If you could just see over your heads a bucket, and he's tipping the bucket over, and he's pouring out the anointing, and it's just coming out, and it's just flowing, and it's continuous, it never ends, and he's just pouring it on your head, and it's coming down on your head, and it's coming down over your shoulders. And the warmth of his presence and the power of his presence simply in beginning to engulf you. You just receive it. It doesn't matter how you think you're receiving it, just receive it. And let him do the work. Just receive it. More, Holy Spirit. Just pour. Pour your goodness, your giftings. Fullness of who you are. Fill their hearts and their minds with you. That they won't have questions in their minds about if you can and should I and will he. Father, I pray you fill their minds this morning with you. That their words will be, I know. I know whom I have believed. I know that he's faithful. And I know he'll come through in every area of my life, whether it's physical or emotional or spiritual. He will meet your need. Open your heart to him this morning and just simply tell him, I receive. Would you say that with me? I receive. I receive of you, Holy Spirit. Rain on us. Empower us to be all that we were called to be.